This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Audible.com has over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. To start your trial today, go to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Cottaway, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to another week of the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports program, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic podcast produced by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, and I am joined by Marcus Money Vanderberg. But no big nasty Alfred Cunnell.
No big nasty.
So apparently, brother Big Nasty had a political function last night, so he's going, you know, CPT, it is what it is, even on the podcast world. So he'll be joining us a little bit later. But what about your boy, man? I think if these political aspirations continue to flourish, you know, it could only be a matter of time before you're talking about Mayor Nasty.
Doesn't he strike you as sort of like that sleazy politician type, though? I could see him as a congressman.
Is it like an African Kwame Kilpatrick?
Yeah. laundering money from the people. I could see it happening.
Yeah, like an African Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons. yeah, with his white mistresses.
Mm-hmm. That would get him caught up in the end.
Yeah, I can see that happening. So, Alfred will be with us a little bit later, but we're going to kick things off, Marcus and I. We're going to talk, it's been a big week in sports, so we got baseball to talk about, obviously, the NFL, Jim Irsay going ham, TNA's Bound for Glory to talk about. But before we get into that, you know, Marcus put out the teaser last week. We gave him the nickname Money Vanderberg for several reasons, and if you follow Marcus on Facebook, if you're friends with him, you know he has he got a new toy in the stable. So what's going on there, Frank Beamer?
Yeah, so I bought a car. I told myself when I moved back from New York to L.A. 4 years ago that when I turned 30 that I wanted to buy a car. So I'm a little late because my birthday was in March, but I finally got around to buying a car. First time doing the whole car thing, which was interesting because I didn't know what the process was like and how long it takes for you to go through the whole process of buying a car. But I ended up buying the new Mercedes CLA 250. I the car was within my budget, and you know I really wanted the car. And even though it the whole Mercedes thing is very Los Angeles and very California of me. So what? You only turned 30 once. So yeah, it was took 7 hours from start to finish. So let that be a warning for you if you ever go out and if you're planning on buying a car soon.
So how was the negotiation experience? Did you have to haggle a little bit?
See, well, the problem was this car is so new and they're selling so well, there wasn't much negotiating going on. So I pretty much paid close to sticker. And that part I lost, you know. Chalked that up to me buying a car too soon in terms of when it came out and also being a first-time buyer. So next time I'll get around to haggling. But I think they would have told me to leave anyways if I tried to haggle too much because the cars have been selling so well that they could have sold it, so.
Yeah, I think they would have given you two options: take it or leave it.
Pretty much. Like that episode of the Cosby Show when Cliff goes to buy the car from Sinbad.
Yeah,
and they find out he's a doctor.
So where's the first place you took the car?
I haven't had really much of a chance to break it in on the highway. I ended up going to the movies later that night to go see Bandit's Claim. But yeah, I haven't really, you know, because of work and stuff, I haven't had time to really go out and drive. I need to plan a trip soon somewhere to really get on the highway. But I am not someone who drives fast normally, but this car has some get up, so I need to watch myself because A, it's a red car, and B, I'm black. So it's a bad car. There's an office pool going on at work to see how soon before I get stopped for speeding. So I told him it wouldn't be speeding, they would just be driving while black. They'll find a reason to pull me over. So
let's start getting into the sports. And where you want to start? You want to talk about this Jim Irsay thing?
Let's start with Peyton Manning.
Because to me, this sounds like I think if you listen, if you take Irsay's comments at face value, that he has a bit of a point. But because of if you're a repeat offender, you get less benefit of the doubt. And Jim Irsay has been known to shoot his mouth off a lot. So I think, it comes across as ungrateful, even if that wasn't his intentions. So, but I mean, for anybody out there that hadn't heard the Irsay comments, just kind of fill them in, Marcus, and let them know what Big Jim's gotten himself into this time.
Yeah, so, you know, Colts owner Jim Irsay, he's one to known to run his mouth, especially on Twitter. I think Tony Kornheiser nicknamed him the Mad Tweeter because he just fires off tweets all the time. And earlier this week, he said, Tom Brady never had consistent numbers, but he had three of these, Irsay told USA Today Sports. Jarrett Bell showing off his 2006 Super Bowl ring. Pittsburgh had two, the Giants had two, Baltimore had two, and we had one. That leaves you frustrated. You make the playoffs 11 times, and you're out in the first round 7 out of 11 times. You love to have the Star Wars numbers from Peyton and Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. Mostly, you love the ring. So basically, he was taking a shot at Peyton for coming up short in the playoffs all those years. And you know, the fact is, without Peyton Manning, the Colts wouldn't be a playoff team, period. They wouldn't have the arena in downtown Indianapolis that they do. So it just comes off as really just uncalled for. And, you know, it's really unfortunate for the Colts because I think it's going to put a target on them. I think Peyton's going to be motivated more than ever to really just dismantle Indianapolis this week.
Yeah, like I said, you know, there's factually, you know, there is some merit to what he was saying, but there's a lot more blame to go around than just Peyton Manning. I mean, you know, as much as I love Tony Dungy, he was a defensive coach, and that Colts defense really didn't click until, you know, 05, 06, you know, when they were making a Super Bowl run. Bill Polian, who was the GM for all those years, put the team together. So I think, you know, you got to look at what Indy was before Peyton got there and the success or lack thereof that they had before number 18 showed up. And it, like I said, it just comes across as ungrateful. You know, it's like, you know, be thankful for what you got, because there's a lot of people in the NFL that, you know, would love to have had one Super Bowl ring, you know. And then let's not forget, the Colts came pretty close to winning that second Super Bowl appearance when they faced the Saints. So it wasn't like they went there and just choked against New Orleans.
Yeah, and props to Peyton for ignoring Irsay's comments and not responding. I know John Fox stepped in on his behalf and responded to Irsay, but Peyton hasn't had much to say this week, which is good. And I think he's just going to let his talking play out on the field on Sunday.
And the funny thing is, you know, they've got this big celebration, this big, welcome home Peyton bash plan for before the game. And part of me thinks, you know, it's genuine. You know, they really care about Peyton and are appreciative for what he meant to that team and to that city. But the other part of me thinks this is a setup from the get-up. Like, they're going to try to keep Peyton out there for 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes before the game, get him rusty, and then try to take advantage of him when the game starts.
I think NBC would be good about speeding that along. I mean, this is their Sunday night game. So whatever they have planned, it'll be probably done in time before you know, once the NBC broadcast starts. But I think the fans will totally cheer him. I don't think they will boo him at all. If anything, they should boo Jim Irsay for what he said. Because I'm sure the fans don't think that. You know, I'm sure the fans are totally appreciative for that one Super Bowl and for the many other playoff attempts and for making that team relevant.
Yeah, and I think, you know, other than seeing Irsay and Manning, you know, because I would assume Jim Irsay would be part of that ceremony, to see that interaction. My only other thing in terms of looking at the ceremony before the game, because I think the game is going to be ugly. I think Denver's going to go in there and do work on the Colts. But I wonder if a certain gangster who shall not be named will show up at the ceremony.
Harvey Marison?
Hey. Real G's moving silence like lasagna.
Yeah, I mean, if Harvin doesn't show up, I mean, that's fine. That's cool. That's his choice. Whatever Harvin wants to do, Harvin can do. It's his
Like, now hearing all those stories about Harvin, like, it makes more, like, it makes that team, that partnership between Peyton and him seem, like, all the more impressive. Because, you know, you thought he was this straight-laced guy, and now it's like, you got country-ass Peyton Manning and the gangster of all gangsters working together.
It's an unusual duo, but they got the job done.
Yeah, so that's coming up Sunday. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think my fantasy team, like, I didn't do anything for the Thursday night game. So I think my fantasy team's already lost this week before the week's even started. So
we play each other this week.
Oh, yeah, we do. We should put something on that.
What should we bet?
How about that Mercedes?
You want that car note? You can take that car note with you.
It'll be like a week later. Yeah, you can have that back, player. I just wanted to hold it for a minute. Did you play? Because you played Alfred already, right?
I have not played Alfred yet. No.
Okay. Yeah, I think I still. Yeah, we should think of something when Alfred gets back, and between the three of us, whoever wins, like we the other two should have to do something.
Okay, and you have the early lead because you had Michael Floyd last night, so, and Teron Matthews, so you're up. You're up 14-6, but we'll see.
I believe the word is insurmountable.
Remember, I do own Peyton Manning, so whatever he does on Sunday will be for my team. So,
come on, Andrew Luck. The one time I would cheer against Peyton. So let's go from the NFL to Major League Baseball, and you know, I ain't gonna rub nothing in, Marcus. I you know what I'm saying? It's not over yet. You know. You know, your boys out there having a good time enjoying themselves, playing the Regal St. Louis Cardinals. Who, the Dodgers, man, the Dodgers, like, they stay pissing people off.
Listen, come on. What Wainwright was complaining about was ridiculous. I mean, this is something he's done all year. He's done this for a while. So for him to be upset and to call him out, I mean, hey, they had it coming. I thought the Mickey Mouse ear response was hilarious by Gonzalez.
Now, would you have thought that if, say, somebody on the Cardinals had done that to the Dodgers?
Well, the Dodgers are smart enough not to run their mouths about what is, you know, class and whatnot. Deadspin had a great post right after Wainwright's comments of all the plays in the first couple games that the Cardinals, you know, that could be deemed as being showboaty or you know, upstaging the opposition. So the Cardinals are just as guilty. The problem is the Dodgers don't care. I mean, they could care less about what the Cardinals are doing. And they're not going to, you know, publicly rip the opposition for doing what they do. So, yeah, I mean, it's all very silly. I like the Dodgers that they have some character. They have some flair. That's good for the sport. I mean, you know, you can have fun. Look at the NFL. Every sack, a guy is doing a dance. I mean, you never hear the opposition or players complaining about people celebrating after, you know, a big stop on the field. So why should baseball be so uptight?
I was thinking about something the other day, though. It was after your boy Puig went flip mode squad and
did a bad flip.
Yeah. still managed to leg out a triple after
that's the most impressive part was he still got the triple, so it's all right.
But I was, you know, you had said something, I don't know if it was last week's show or the week before, and, you know, you were like, all these Latin guys are the one getting targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back and looked at some things, and I thought about it, and I'm like, I don't know if it's a Latin thing more so than an English-speaking thing, because if you remember, Manny Ramirez did a lot of the same things, but people loved him because he was a character and he could speak the language, at least better than, you know, guys like Puig.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that being a – you can be a knucklehead to some extent. You can be flamboyant, but you also have to play the media game, I think, in order to curry favor with the ESPNs and you know, Fox Sports and people like that. And Puig, you know, who knows? He might be the funniest dude in the world, but the image that we get is somebody that, you know, is kind of reticent and standoffish almost with the media.
Yeah, that's a good observation. Because look at David Ortiz. He's another one who is not afraid to let you know how hard he hit it. And, you know, he also speaks the English language better than Puig. And he's sort of beloved. I mean, we saw what happened after the Marathon bombings. And, you know, he dropped that F-bomb during that first game back. And everyone ha-ha and hee-heed about, oh, bit poppy. I mean, so, yeah, you might be right. It might be.
Pedro Martinez is another one.
Correct. Yeah, Pedro's another one. But I don't know if Carlos Domínguez speaks English. I think he does, though. I know Puig's English is not the best. He doesn't really try, really, to speak English now. He's still speaking in Spanish. And Jose Fernandez is someone who does know English. He speaks it pretty well for someone who just came to the States within the last 6 or 7 years. So you might be onto something.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be a combination of language as well as age, you know, because a lot of these guys that are getting the spotlight now, getting the criticism, are either, you know, a year or two into the league, whereas Manny and Pedro and Poppy, they are all veterans, you know, by the time they became superstars.
Yeah, they quote-unquote paid their dues, you know, coming up through the sport. So another one of those stupid baseball rules about you have to, you know, pay your dues. And come on, really, I love baseball, I really do, but and there's a lot of stuff that just irritates me, and it makes me wonder when they'll figure it out, because they're running off, you know, the younger fan base. People my age aren't watching baseball normally. It's mostly an older person sport, and eventually those people will die out, and where are your fans going to come from?
Yeah, and I guess they'll have to go to what was it? You never watched Futurama, did you?
Briefly.
I was going to say, how far are we away from Blurn's Ball?
Oh, I didn't watch it close enough to get that reference. No.
I see, yeah. Somebody, like, there's one dude out there that's like, oh, snap, a Blurn's Ball reference. But finishing up on the MLB, you got both series at 3-2. Who you got?
I have Boston winning in six. And I'm going to say Cardinals in seven.
Yeah, I can see the wheels spinning. You're like, am I going to be a homer?
Yeah, it's going to be Wainwright versus Ryu. So I'm going to say Cardinals in seven.
Yeah, I think I'll agree Cardinals in seven. I'm hoping Detroit can find a way to pull this thing off. And it's terrible because they have squandered some pretty good pitching efforts. But I agree. I think the Red Sox are going to close it out. And I'm not looking forward to a Red Sox-Cardinal series.
I am not, but I guess I'm rooting for the Red Sox if that happens, as much as that might be weird. But, yeah, I'd rather see Boston win than St. Louis win.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind if it just ended in a tie. Just like this... We're going to call it. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not at the same time. Like, I'll watch it. It's the World Series. Mm-hmm. I'm not watch the World Series, but I won't care. Like, actually, the only team left that I care about is Detroit. And I'd actually rather see L.A. than St. Louis, just because they're more exciting. But I doubt it's going to happen.
Yeah, but you got to remember last year, St. Louis blew a 3-1 lead. They got outscored 20-1 in those final three games. So if they lose tonight, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of lemon booty, as Bomani likes to say, from that St. Louis dugout, because I think those thoughts from last year will start creeping in their heads. And, you know, Game 7, anything can happen in Game 7, so you never know.
Yeah, you never know, but there's one thing I do know, Marcus. This weekend, one of the biggest events on the pro wrestling calendar is going to take place. You know how WrestleMania is the showcase of the immortals, and Starrcade back in the NWA and WCW was the granddaddy of them all. Well, this Sunday, TNA will present the stepdaddy of them all, Bound for Glory. And I say that because a stepdaddy is somebody that's, you know, they're nice, they mean well, they're fun, but for some reason or another, it just doesn't click. And that's exactly what I feel about Bound for Glory, an event that we were actually thinking about attending.
Yeah. Many months ago, we had this plan of you know, all meeting in person and you flying out. This was probably back in, whatever they announced the pay-per-view in San Diego, so probably May, June. And then the build for the card started, and yeah. That's not happening. You mentioned the stepdaddy thing, and much like your stepfather, you don't respect your stepfather. So I don't respect TNA enough to make the trip 2 hours south to go to this pay-per-view. I don't even respect them enough to actually watch this show on Sunday because this football game's going on. So I will have to catch the replay. And by replay, I mean download if the show's actually any good. But as of now, I really have no interest in watching the show on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is a lot of times I think the NFL, you know, doesn't really hurt pay-per-views, but this is a show that's going to get low buy rate anyway, and then you got a game with such intrigue on Sunday night. So fortunately, though, I will be watching the game on NBC, but I will also, you know, call my cable provider Nefarious Means and watch Bound for Glory. So I will be supporting the company.
You should have no problem with buffering on Sunday then.
But I mean, let's just kind of look at the card the way it is, or what we know. Pretty much the card's in place, and they congratulations for them for getting a card in place a week before or the week of a show. We had the big contract signing last night on Impact that ended the way all contract signings end. So you got AJ Bully Ray, you got Sting and Magnus. I thought Angle and Bobby Roode had a pretty good promo. So you got that match that was kind of thrown together at the last minute. You got a X Division quote unquote All Star match, and you've got the tag team match, which is probably going to end up being Kaz and Daniels versus James Storms and Gunner. So do any of those matches kind of stand out to you, or you know, something that even if you don't watch the show live, it'll be something you'll go back and check out.
Curious about Kurt Angle and see how he does. He was pretty ripped last week when he came back. This is fresh off his Hall of Fame induction, which is on Saturday night, I believe. So he will be, you know, the Hall of Famer, and I'm sure he'll go over Bobby Roode. But just looking at the card, I'm just wondering which one of these six matches will go long, because they're going to need to fill out this three-hour card. So one of these matches has to probably go at least 20, 30 minutes. And I'm guessing it might be Bully Ray AJ Styles, just because it's the main event. But a no DQ match that goes on for that long, I think, starts to drag. I mean, there's so many chair shots and table spots and interference you can do before you need to wrap it up. So
yeah, I did forget the knockouts match, so that could go 30 minutes. they could do a Broadway.
three of the four knockouts are wrestling on this show.
I think AJ and Bully will probably go 15 minutes.
That's it, you think?
I wouldn't say any longer than 20, but I'm thinking around, you know, that 15 to 17 minute mark. You know, I was thinking because of the reason you mentioned in terms of the no DQ, the brutality. I'm thinking that I don't know, it depends on the Kurt's physical state, but I think Angle and Rude, that could be one of the longer matches. It could probably be a show stealer. The Ultimate X, now that they've added a fifth guy, you could maybe stretch that out for an extra 5 minutes or so. But yeah, there's not really a lot of room to, like, most of the time we're looking at pay-per-views and we're like, there's too much filler.
Yeah.
And on this show, it's like, you know, are you going to have enough to fill that 3-hour spot?
That means there's enough time for Hulk Hogan to come back, right? Right.
That's the main event, brother.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. And that might be the, oh yeah. Ethan Carter III is showing up.
Oh, so okay.
Look at the big Ethan Carter III Hulk Hogan showdown.
Yeah, so that'll be his debut. So that'll be kind of a match. So I guess they didn't fill out this card. But, yeah, I mean, just the real intrigue now is if Hogan does re-sign and show up. I mean, that's pretty much the drama that's heading into this pay-per-view. I don't think he shows up. What do you say?
I wouldn't have him show up, but I think that they might be desperate enough, especially, I don't know if Hogan still has a lot of pull out there in California. But in terms of a fan response, but I mean, it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might say, you know, all hands on deck because nobody's going to buy this show. If anything, they want some good footage to put on Impact next week. To lead off Impact with, you know, Hulk Hogan coming back and then getting people to tune into the TV show. Because that's all it really is. I mean, as much as, you know, they cut back on pay-per-views, they're still just a vehicle for Impact, which is, you know, ass backwards, and it's the way they've been doing pay-per-views for years.
And I heard you talked about with Way last night about the Impact cancellations. There's a bit of an update on that story. So I guess the reason why they're canceling shows in November and December is they're trying to go back to the Impact Zone. And I guess the Impact Zone is available after November 2nd, so they're trying to work out a deal to go back. So... That was fun while it lasted, huh?
Yeah. Hey, at least we got one in Norfolk. We got one
there
in Norfolk.
There you go. You got to see him. They took care of you.
And you know what? I think even though, like, I think the crowd response was so good. Like, we might have earned ourselves a pay-per-view. Because the pay-per-views are still, for the most part, going to be on the road. So, I mean, we might have earned a Slammiversary. But that's interesting. I think...
Yeah, that's...
Who knows? Maybe being away for so long will absence will make the heart grow fonder.
No, it won't. It's
from a cost perspective, it makes sense, but it's because they needed to find a permanent home somewhere.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a step back.
I will be in Orlando in February, so hopefully. The timing works out where I can see a taping of Impact in Orlando.
We'll see Marcus Vandenberg up front in the front row with the implants.
With those two chicks, yeah.
I mean, they got like the redhead, the blonde, and the black chick.
The black chick, yeah. I'm sure they're very excited about this news about getting back on camera.
And they got their job back.
They do.
They've been at Starbucks for the last 6 months. Like, girl, we back.
We back. November.
I would say I'm looking forward to the show much the same way I'm looking forward to the World Series. Like, I'll watch it because I'm a fan, but I'm more interested in the ramifications and the fallout afterwards with Hogan and the shakeup behind the scenes with Panda. And I don't think, like I was saying on a review and Impact with Wei Ting, which you can download now from the Fight Network, I don't think anything's going to change unless... They get a new ownership.
Yeah, and I haven't heard anything new about that. I mean, if they're trying to, if they're getting close to selling, or if they're actually serious about it, or anything like that. So, I think till then, it's going to be status quo, and we'll see. You know, I was hoping this would be the end of Aces and Eights, but it doesn't appear to be that way. And then it makes you wonder, well, will they stretch this out into the next pay-per-view? But that's not until next year. So, same old for TNA.
I keep telling you, Kanye West needs to buy Impact Wrestling. That will solve everything.
Nah, he doesn't need to do that.
And because that way he could design all the outfits, because you know he wants to be a big fashion designer. He could produce all the music. His girl could go into the TNA Hall of Fame. It works for everybody.
Well, the music would be good, though.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice touch.
He can come up with his own stipulation match. It's not safe for you in this zoo match. Be like a Hell in a Cell, but
Chicago
with like animals.
Street Fight.
Yeah, Chicago Street Fight. It's I'm telling you, man. He's got so much money anyway. Like, TNA can't be that expensive to buy. Like, just a little side hobby.
He doesn't strike me as a wrestling fan, though. Pusha T, maybe. Maybe we can talk to Pusha T.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pusha T, he could bring in Melly Mel from the Urban Wrestling Federation. Just turn it to a... You remember that video game, Def Jam Fight for New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, just make it a wrestling version of that video game.
So the Pope would have a job again. He's black.
Yeah, the Pope, MVP.
D-Von.
Yeah, D-Von would be back. I think Ron Killings, they bring him back. JTG.
All the... Shad. Bring all the black wrestlers back.
All the black mid-carders. Shelton Benjamin.
Get them all out.
Worst part about that show is like nobody would go over. It'd just be a 30-man roster of mid-carders.
You know who would go over. The white wrestler.
Yeah, they keep AJ around just to
put him on top.
Yeah. So I think we're going to end off segment one right there. We got segment four coming up. We got a lot of good stuff on this week's show. So I hope Marcus is going to stick around, but I keep hearing the car revving up outside the studio.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Man, people get brand new on you, man. He'd have forgot the little people. Oh. Next week when we try to record, Marcus will just be like on his call phone.
It does have Bluetooth inside, so I could call you. It'd be my own personal studio. I just call my cell phone, so.
OnStar, connect me to the Kings of Sport.
There you go. Skype me in.
Yeah. So, we'll end it here. This is like the most anticlimactic pitch to break ever.
You can tease Alfred's return in that segment.
Yeah. Yeah, coming up next. The man you've been waiting for. The master of disaster. The tower of power. Too sweet to be sour. Big Nasty.
The African.
The African. Just like that.
African Alfred.
He's Liberian, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
The Liberian legend. Just like that. Big Nasty. Big Ducky. African. Yeah, I ain't letting them forget. I'm bringing it back this week. So stick and stay. Don't be like Marcus. Come back. We got some good stuff for you. More Kings of Sport right after this. Long limousine, just like that. Jet airplanes, just like that. Custom made clothes, just like that. And any woman in the world I want, just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that.
Looking so fine. So much cooking in Atlanta, GA tonight.
Don't try to antagonize me, because you know what? It's not safe for you in this zoo.
Just like that.
We've always said the Kings of Sport was the best podcast around, but now the reviews are in and the people have spoken. Here's what you had to say about the show. This is a sports podcast for the people, by the people. There are no old guys talking about the good old days. These are brothers that are connected to what's going on now. They bring you the latest information as well as comparing current events to historical ones. If there is one sports podcast that you need to listen to, make it this one. This is a very good show with three brilliant co-hosts who keep it real. Younger guys with great minds for sports. They have differing opinions and back it up with facts and figures. always entertaining and an enjoyable listen. I am down with the Kings. The Kings of Sport is the best thing going on the internet. These guys rock. Give them a listen. You won't be disappointed. So there you have it. But you don't have to take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Listen to the Kings of Sport and make up your own mind. We guarantee we're the best show around.
I'm gonna make this real simple for you, redneck. You can't beat me. I'm the most dangerous, the most intense, and the most desperate man you're ever gonna get in the ring with. And I will beat you at Bound for Glory and be the next world heavyweight champ.
And we are back on the Kings of Sport. Ready to close up shop for another week. That's right. You know, I know we just started the show 1 segment ago, but now we're ending it. Like Chris Rock said, grand opening, grand closing. You know, it's been that kind of week. We still want to give you guys what you want, give the people what they need. And what you need is your weekly dose of wrestling and your weekly dose of ratchetness. And we got both in equal measures. So, joining me, I mean, maybe I should introduce my co-host because he wasn't around for the first segment. Joining me at this time is none other than the future mayor of Los Angeles, one big nasty Africano. I mean, me, Marcus and I, we already figured like you're gonna end up being a crooked politician, like an African Mayor Quimby. Yeah, like a Kwame Kilpatrick. And Kwame is a rather African name, so you got a connection there.
It is. It fits. It can fit.
Kwame Kunawa.
I like it. It's alliterative. Yes. Because Kwame, if I'm not mistaken, that the way they spell it starts with a K, right? Yeah. It's not one of those weird spelling.
Yeah. Shout out to Kwame Kilpatrick. I think he's in jail now.
Yeah. No, he's gonna be in jail for a long time.
So we got a big fan base. In the penal system.
How do we get this show out to them? Do they don't spend their conjugal visits listening to this show, do they?
I mean, they find a way. You remember Shawshank, Morgan Freeman's character?
Yeah.
He always find a way to get people what they need. I'm sure we got somebody on the inside out there in D block.
We should have a couple people like that.
We probably do already. Like, the best part about, you know, the best part, well, before we get into, some wrestling here, the best part about, having listeners in prison.
What's that?
They're a captive audience.
Very good.
Boom.
Very good way to start the show.
So, I talked about it a little bit earlier with Marcus and the A Block. The biggest event on the pro wrestling calendar is fast approaching us, Brother Alfred.
Is that right? WrestleMania's coming early?
I mean, no, I'm not talking about the Showcase of the Immortals. I'm not even talking about the granddaddy of them all. Like I referred to in the first segment, this week, Sunday night, TNA presents the stepdaddy of them all. Bound for Glory. And it's out in your neck of the woods. We were actually planning to go back in May or June. We were actually making plans to attend, but... Yeah, TNA didn't do us any favors with the build. It's kind of a lukewarm card at best. I think the actual in-ring stuff should be pretty good, though. You know, we got Angle and Bobby Roode, AJ Bully Ray, a pretty stacked X Division Ultimate X match. The tag match, I don't know who's going to be in it, but I'm pretty sure that Daniels and Kaz will come out of that preliminary deal and have a pretty decent match with Gunnar and Storm. So on paper... In ring, it should be a pretty solid show, Sting and Magnus, but in terms of booking and in terms of storyline and interest, I don't feel a lot of buzz for the show, Alfred.
I don't either. And TNA, I don't know whose fault this would be exactly, but TNA has kind of been a victim of its own internal struggles, which you would expect it to be. But by that, I mean Bound for Glory. They had long-term plans in place, like we were talking about last week, but given the immense roster shakeup that's occurred over the past couple of months, they haven't really been able to see things through. This time, we were pretty much talking about Hulk Hogan coming out of retirement for a match against Bully Ray. That seemed to be where that build was going, given the storyline with Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan. But Brooke gone, Hogan, and now we are in a situation where they're kind of stuck in a rut and they're forcing these matches down our throat. But again, they're very good matches on paper. Had they originally planned for these matches and they actually had a necessary, good, strong build, then I would be very excited for it. But it's just really another wrestling show.
Yeah, that Angle Rude match, I think that could be the sleeper match of the show. You know, Kurt, regardless of what you want to say about his personal life, he has never been somebody that has phoned it in the ring. And I don't know physically where he's at, but, you know, you got two good workers in there with him and Bobby Roode. If they give him a pretty good amount of time, I think that could steal the show.
Yeah, say what you want to say about Kurt Angle's alleged alcoholism, but he really raises a bar when it comes to his in-ring work.
Yeah, and I see what you did there.
better. I'm stealing your shtick here.
The only thing, like you said, you know, they booked this thing 2 weeks out, you know? So it's like we've got 2 weeks of a build with Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode. You know, this was the main event of Bound for Glory 2 years ago, I think, with Angle beating Bobby Roode for the world championship, retaining that. And there's a lot of backstory, a lot of history you could do with this thing. And 2 weeks to me, it just seems like they're rushing Kurt back in terms of, you know, we need some buzz for this event. And who better to do that with than our Hall of Fame inductee for this year?
Yeah, and again, you know it's going to be a great, strong match, but it's just too bad to see Kurt Angle in this circumstance where he's just kind of in no man's land, and he's like, you could tell that they were just saying, okay, who do we put with Kurt? What do we do with him? Okay, we'll just put him in Bobby Roode, and we'll see if they can have a good match. And that's not really how you're supposed to book the top of this program, and I feel that's happened with all the top matches, whether it be Bully Ray and AJ Styles, which, I mean, that has been so inconsistent with AJ Styles to where originally he wasn't doing it for the money, or he was doing it for the money and he didn't care about anybody else, but now he's doing it for himself and he can't be bought because he's this vigilante again. So they obviously have no idea where they're going with that character.
And it's a shame because I think this is a story that had a lot of potential with AJ Styles, and the character is just so all over the place. And even if he wins the title, which I expect him to, on Sunday, I don't even think then that he will, you know, be the focus of this promotion because, you know, you mentioned Hulk Hogan. You know, he did sign on the dotted line, unfortunately, with Viacom and with Spike TV and with Impact and TNA. So I think Marcus and I were kind of going through the card and realizing there's only 7 matches on this show. So there's a lot of time to fill in 3 hours. And there could be a chance that your brother shows back up.
Now, that would be one of the dumber moves if TNA were to surprise everybody with Hulk Hogan. I know their buy rates on pay-per-view aren't going to make much of a dent in their business, so they could maybe afford to get away with something like this. But if Hulk Hogan's going to be on that show and he's confirmed, which I don't think he is, then you're going to want to go all in with the promotion of the biggest star in wrestling history, arguably, being on that show, because that's the kind of thing that would get me in Los Angeles to change my mind and go out to San Diego and watch the show. But with WWE and TNA in a current bidding war, I think the best case scenario for AJ Styles would be for Hulk Hogan to somehow get whisked away by WWE for WrestleMania 30 season, because ever since Hogan came into the picture, AJ Styles has taken a back seat. Hogan has been quite vocal about the fact that he does not really see AJ Styles as that big star and hallmark that he has been in TNA.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get a rematch, a rehash of that great Billy Kidman Hulk Hogan feud from WCW.
Billy Kidman beat Hulk Hogan, and he just didn't get over it. The kid couldn't draw. What do you want from him?
You know,
that was one of the biggest sabotages I've ever seen in professional wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, so other matches that we talked about, you know, they got Sting and Magnus. I think this could be. I don't think this will be Sting's last show, but I think it is the beginning of the end for Sting and TNA. How have you liked the way that they progressed this angle with, you know, Magnus kind of in the old Sting role and Sting in that role of Nature Boy Ric Flair trying to, you know, make this kid?
Yeah, they're doing a student teacher type program, and I like it. I like the mentor role that Sting is playing, and I think they've picked the right guy to do it with. They've invested a lot in Magnus. I do think Magnus has a look, and he has the package to be a big star in TNA. It's just too bad it's coming at such a tumultuous time for TNA, because it may not, it may be all for naught, but if Sting is able to give this kid a good match and put him over strong, it would be him paying his penance on what I think, like you do, may be one of his last matches in TNA. I really do see this being the year that the stars align for him to go to WWE. And I really have never said that. I've always hoped, but logistically, I think this could happen.
Yeah, see, I've been almost the opposite. Like, I've always hoped that he would stay in TNA, but now, because of the financial situation and because of Sting, you know, he's paid his dues with that company. You know, and, you know, anybody that would say he was just doing it for the money, or, you know, he was stroking his own ego or this and that, you know, you can't really say that with the body of work that this dude has put in with TNA. And he was, you know, people made a big stink about him getting in the Hall of Fame, you know, and it was like, this is a legitimate Hall of Famer for this company. You know, they don't have a whole lot of homegrown guys, a whole lot of guys that made a difference. And I think on camera and behind the scenes, especially in a company that has been so dysfunctional over the years, I think, you know, Sting deserves, you know, to be able to go out on his own terms with TNA.
Definitely. And you look at Sting's career, if you put things in perspective, Sting, comparatively to TNA, which is a small company, is a big fish in a small pond, has been just as important, if not more important, than he's ever been to a single promotion. And I'm not really saying that as a knock on Sting, but if you look at Sting's career progression, he's always been at those major territories at a time when Flair was there, Hogan was there, Nash was there, they had other big stars, and he didn't have to carry the mail necessarily for Jim Crockett Promotions or WCW. Here in TNA, he has been that guy who can make a difference and who can carry the mail as much as he can for TNA.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had some really good matches. I mean, he had a great match with AJ Styles, Bound for Glory 2009. He had a good match with Kurt Angle. I mean, it's hard not to have a good match with Kurt Angle, but he had a good match with Kurt Angle. What was the match he had with Bully Ray, at Lockdown this past year? You know, you think he's over the hill, he's past his prime, but he can still get in there and craft a good match. I think he's actually gotten smarter in terms of, you know, the in-ring psychology. And that's something that Sting, when he was young, he was athletic, but he didn't really have that psychology. And now it's kind of come full circle with him.
Yeah, he was a big bruiser in Exhibit A of him getting smarter as a worker is the fact that he was able to pull a halfway decent match out of Hulk Hogan at Bound for Glory a couple years ago back in Philadelphia. And Hulk Hogan, to say he was a shell of himself, is being nice. Hulk Hogan's back is a mess.
That's an insult to shells.
He shouldn't be in the ring. It is. He shouldn't be in the ring. He has no business competing, but Sting was able to work a very smart match where at his advanced age, he was taking the majority of the bumps like you have to do with Hulk Hogan. And they did a very good job hiding Hulk Hogan's limitations. I think as good a job as anybody could have done.
Yeah, and that's why if anybody, you know, says, oh, Sting and Taker, they wouldn't be able to have a good match. Like, Sting had a good match with Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And as advanced as an age of Taker is right now, he is 15, 20, 30 times the worker that Hulk Hogan is right now. And so, you know, I think Sting and Taker, you know, half of that match is just based on the mystique anyway.
Right, this is going to be an attraction match because both these guys are attractions. They're very similar type of wrestlers. Now, they're Hall of Famers and they had very stellar Hall of Fame careers. But when I say attraction, I mean individuals who are able to, they don't need to have the title in order to be relevant. You see, The Undertaker, his streak is more relevant than anything else. And Sting just being in the WWE and competing in a match finally is going to be the story there. So, yeah, I agree with you that Sting and Undertaker would be a good match on top of The Undertaker being 50 times the worker Hogan is. Undertaker only works like 1-3 times a year. So his body may not be in 100% great shape, but it's definitely in enough shape to be able to go and do it very strongly at one show.
Yeah, and if Sting's going to go, this is the time, I think, you know, with Triple H having more of a say in the company, and he's made no secret that he was always a mark for Sting, I think that there's less chance that they would screw him up like they have with so many former WCW guys.
That's been the holdup with Sting's camp, and WWE has insisted no, that they wouldn't screw around with Sting's character, that they would have him back for a Legends contract where they could make a Sting DVD and they could do a career retrospective, put him in the Hall of Fame. And I really do think this would be one of those exceptions where they would treat Sting with the utmost respect and they wouldn't mess around doing anything with his character that would embarrass him and that would devalue his legacy.
Yeah, there's money to be made. And the other thing is, if they do a Sting DVD without Jim Ross, that's a waste.
Oh, they will. They will. Don't you worry about that.
That's a waste. But getting back to, like I said, the biggest event of the weekend. You know, will you, Big Nasty Africana, will you be watching Bound for Glory, or will you be watching the other main event featuring Peyton Manning versus the biggest heel in the business, Jim Irsay?
How about this? Here's my slightly diplomatic backhanded answer. I will be watching babyface Peyton Manning, and I say that rolling my eyes. I know we're on radio or podcast, but I'll be having Bound for Glory in the background as background noise. And every now and again, if something interesting happens, I'll turn my attention to that. But then when Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck go back and forth up and down that field scoring touchdowns, I'll have my attention on that.
See, I'm conflicted with the game because I'm playing Marcus this week and Peyton Manning is his quarterback. So I want Peyton to go off to shove it to Jim Irsay, but by the same token, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind if Peyton threw a couple picks early on.
Why is Jim Irsay the heel in here? Did he do anything wrong? Did he say anything that's not true? Shouldn't an owner want more Super Bowls given the amount of times Peyton Manning has been to the playoffs?
I said with Marcus earlier, like, the factual basis of what he's saying is not completely wrong, but it's a matter of tact and it's a matter of being grateful to somebody. Like, you could be mad that you only won one Super Bowl, but if you didn't have this guy in the first place, you would have zero Super Bowls.
That's true. But by the same token, he's holding Peyton Manning and that organization to a high standard, and that's the standard they should be held to. And in Peyton Manning's retrospective career, once we take off the gloves and we're not being as nice, obviously his legend will grow as he retires. There's no question about that. But the knock will be similar to Dan Marino, to where Dan Marino didn't win any Super Bowls. Peyton Manning may be in that same ilk given the amount of times and chances he had at Super Bowls and didn't cash in, to where they say he only won one, if he is to end his career with one.
You saw the movie Be Cool, didn't you?
I saw that movie. A couple times. I owned that movie.
You remember that speech Cedric the Entertainer did when the Russian called him the N-word?
Yeah.
That's how I think Peyton Manning should address Jim Irsay. Like, you should just say thank you, man, and go about your business. Because, you know, it's like, you know, they... I made the statement to Marcus earlier, you know, to just put all the blame on Peyton is ridiculous because, you know, Tony Dungy, as much as I respect Tony Dungy as a coach and as a person, for a defensive genius, that defense was pretty sorry up until about 05. And you saw once the defense got it together, 05, 06 and beyond, they were, you know, making strides in the playoffs. Bill Polian, who's the GM and the architect of that team for so many years, you know, bringing in those pieces, he's got some of the blame to bear as well as Peyton. So, you know, I think that to not only, you know, make that statement this week, but to also throw Tom Brady out there like that, like, you know, that's the one name that'll get on Peyton's nerves.
Yeah, but okay.
Like, I think that was a shady move by Irsay.
You can't put all the blame on Bill Polian for recruiting the way he did and getting the pieces he did because they built that team around Peyton Manning's skill set. They said, okay, we've got a quarterback who can go up and down the field at will in a no-huddle situation. So what we're going to do is we're going to get young, fast, smaller guys who are going to be able to rush the passer because Peyton Manning is going to put these big leads on the board. So for that team to be built from the ground up around Peyton Manning and Peyton Manning to not deliver in the playoffs and for those teams to be exposed basically when they didn't have the lead, you could point to Peyton. And, but he's a quarterback. It's a quarterback league. Everybody gives Joe Montana the credit for being the best quarterback of all time, even though he hasn't thrown for as many yards as Kerry Collins or Drew Bledsoe. But the Niners and the greatest wide receiver ever and Roger Craig and a lot of Hall of Fame talents, they won the Super Bowl. But everybody says Joe Montana won 4 Super Bowls, so he's the greatest ever, which is not fair. But that's how we grade quarterbacks, is by championship.
And this is the crazy thing. Like, if Peyton and the Broncos win a Super Bowl this year, all the people that were saying Brady is better, I bet in the media they'll be saying, oh, Peyton Manning has cemented his legacy as the greatest quarterback of all time. When it is so funny how, you know, in the NFL, which is the one sport where it's the hardest for one individual to affect winning and losing, that, you know, a quarterback or a head coach will, you know, his legacy will be defined by one game. You know, let's not forget that the Colts did go to 2 Super Bowls, and they had a good shot of winning against the Saints. You know, the ball unfortunately bounced a certain way and they weren't able to get that ring. But, you know, I think there are a lot of teams in the league that would happily trade places, a lot of owners that would happily trade places with Jim Irsay over the past, you know, decade.
Oh, for sure. And Jim Irsay isn't saying he regrets being an owner of the Indianapolis Colts or they're a disgrace or he's not proud of a son of his. What he's doing, I think, is screwing around with Peyton Manning and just gamesmanship before the game begins so that we have these extra storylines to throw Peyton Manning off of his game, which I think may or may not work. You never know.
And but, I think he's also trying to take the take some of the spotlight off of Andrew Luck, because you notice nobody's talking about Andrew Luck at all this week.
He's been an afterthought, and Andrew Luck is very boring by disposition. The generic storyline of this weekend's game would be Andrew Luck versus Peyton Manning. Did the Colts make the right move in getting rid of Peyton Manning? But Andrew Luck has been third fiddle. It's been Jim Irsay versus Peyton Manning. So Irsay may be a martyr in some means by standing in front of the bullet and taking that bullet for Andrew Luck.
Jim Irsay is essentially Paul Heyman to Andrew Luck's Curtis Axel.
He is. He martyred him.
That's how we bring it back to wrestling. So the bottom line is I will be watching Bound for Glory. I've already placed the call to my cable provider, Nefarious Means. And then I'll also have the other TV on the Colts and Broncos.
But what's background noise? Be honest.
I think after the first half, depending on the game, like I'll be watching the game to start off with because of the opening ceremonies and the first couple of possessions and all that good stuff. But I think it'll sync up pretty well because by the time the pay-per-view gets to the really good matches, the game may be out of hand depending on what Peyton and them boys come in and do.
It could be, but I really do see that game being very competitive and coming down to the last drive. Because there's a reason both these teams came out flat this past week, and I saw this coming, is because they are so geeked up to play each other that they looked ahead.
And it's also because the Jacksonville Jaguars are a beast in disguise.
They're a juggernaut, baby.
Yeah. So let's leave the wrestling there, and let's go to a story that just, it's kind of been brewing all week, but it came to a head, I guess, a couple, you know, 24 hours ago, basically. And it's a sad story because it's, you know, I know, you know, when people talk about college powerhouses and traditions, you know, you'll hear people talk about Michigan or Ohio State or Notre Dame and schools like that. But for a lot of people, especially in the South, especially African Americans, Grambling is one of those schools that is held in high prestige, held in high regard. And to hear what's going down over there is kind of ridiculous and kind of sad. So for those that haven't heard the story, Big Nasty, let them know what's been going on at Grambling.
Quickly spinning out of control at Grambling. Like you mentioned, they are a college powerhouse, maybe not in the realm of a Division I school, but a historically black college that has won 13 national black college championships, and they really are the cream of the crop when it comes to black colleges. But a lot of stuff has been coming to a head. The players have pretty much formed a mutiny against the establishment. On Tuesday, they met with the administration to smooth over ongoing tensions because players were unhappy about having to be bused to distant locations, namely Kansas City and Indianapolis. Head coach Doug Williams was fired. There's poor weight condition. There's a lot of stuff going on that the players are not happy with. They try to voice their opinions, and it basically ended in a walkout, to where the players simply said, we're walking out of this session, we're not playing, and the latest update we have is the fact that Grambling's game against Jackson State has been canceled because only 22 players showed up to be bussed over to play Jackson State. So we are in a full-on mutiny. This isn't like an Occupy Wall Street type deal where 1% or the 99% shows up and they protest and nobody listens. This is a legit protest that has ended up in a canceled game, and action is going to need to be taken. But for now, we're not playing the game on Saturday against Jackson State.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know, like, just kind of at first glance, a lot of people will take the side of the university, you know, because that's what people always do. You know, they're like, these are kids, they're entitled or they're spoiled, and they, you know, they're on scholarship or whatever, and they're getting paid to play football, and they get a free education. But let's dig deeper with this. You know, this to me is a complete lack of respect for these student athletes by the administration. First of all, you talk about firing Doug Williams, which I think was, you know, kind of the catalyst to all this. back in September, Doug Williams was fired. And it's like, this is a guy that is a legend, you know, not only, you know, in the black community, but specifically at Grambling, you know, the guy that was almost handpicked and groomed to succeed the great legendary Eddie Robinson. The guy that, you know, did so much, you know, in the pros as well as in college and, you know, is a mentor, not only when it comes to X's and O's and coaching, but in terms of showing these kids, I came from the same places that you came from, and this is how you can use football as a tool to enhance your life. And to fire him, you know, after four or five games, I think is ridiculous. They're now on their third head coach. You know, after they fired Doug, they had an interim head coach, and now they got an interim head coach because the guys didn't want to play for the interim head coach. And it's like the budget has been slashed from, I think, $30 million was the budget last year, and because of, you know, various things going on with the government, it's down to, I believe, $3 million or $10 million, somewhere in that nature. But it's like a huge, huge difference from last year, which affects these kids. And it's like these 12-hour bus rides, like if you – I know people are like, you know, they suck it up and get over it, but, you know, you go to class – and these aren't, you know, these aren't kids at, and I hate to throw shade on one of your schools, Alfred, but these aren't kids at USC who are taking underwater basket weaving. You know, these are kids that are, for the most part, they're actually going there to go to school and play football as well, but they're primarily there as student athletes. And, you know, you go to class all week, you go to practice, and then you drive 12 hours to a game, play the game, you probably get beat because you're not that good this year, and you drive 12 hours back. That's ridiculous. And
it is.
If you're a big-time college program, that is unacceptable in my opinion.
And you hit the nail on the head, a big-time college program. Again, in the realm of historically black colleges, they are royalty, and it's part of the school being a victim of its own success. Maybe they'll stand for this in Jackson State or another program, but Grambling University is used to winning. They're used to being the cream of the crop. And now here we are in a situation where they don't feel they're getting adequate facilities. They don't feel they're being treated adequately in terms of being bused or being located and transported to another location in a feasible manner. And they're not going to stand for it. They're not going to just lay down and say, okay, well, whatever, we got a scholarship. No, they're better than that. They're above that, and they're reacting as such.
And the thing is, you know, people are always like, you know, just shut up and play. This is what college is about. If you remember, you know, that was a big part of the, you know, the 60s, the 70s, you know, being able to voice displeasure with the status quo. Being able to, you know, state your case as an individual. And I got to give props to these players, because if you've seen any of the footage or the transcripts of their protests, it's not, you know, these kids out there acting wild, acting crazy. They have a point, and they're expressing it, you know, in a well-spoken, in a calm manner. And, you know, they just want things to change. And I don't think they're being unreasonable, you know, with this. You know, this is a Division I football team. If they were, you know, D2 or D3, then maybe they should just shut up and play. But this is a Division I football team. Like you mentioned, you know, this is for all intents and purposes the Black Michigan, if you want to make that analogy, and in college football. And, you know, I think that the administration, you know, and the athletic director, Percy Caldwell, they have to actually not just try to placate these kids or shut them up or push them to the side. They actually need to sit down and you know, take a hard look at what these kids are saying, because I do think they have a point.
And the fact that their walkout worked so effectively as to have the game canceled means they have to now be taken seriously. Grambling does not want this PR nightmare on their hands. We are in the era of the internet, and ever since social media became as relevant as it is, now when people Google Grambling, they're going to find words like revolt, rebellion, this is going to be bad for recruiting, so they're going to have to sit down and meet, because the last thing Grambling wants is for their season to be canceled because something like this happened. They want to get together with these kids and make sure that they're all on the same page somehow, and basically, I applaud them because they're going to get what they want, and Grambling's going to take strides in improving that program.
You know what they need to do? What they'll never do? What they need to do? Like, because it amazes me the ego. And I understand, you know, we all got egos. Some of us bigger than most, big nasty.
Who?
I understand that, you know, people have egos, especially professional people, but sometimes the biggest thing you can do, the strongest thing you can do, is admit that you make a mistake and rectify it. And I think it would go a long way. They're never going to do it, but if they reached out to Doug Williams, I don't even know if he'd take the job back, but at least offer it to him.
Yeah, why not? They already have been made to look like fools. The egg has already been laying on their face. They really can't look any worse than they already do now. So this would be a huge move in showing, yes, we admit we're wrong. Changes will be made. We'll start reinstituting policies that placated the students. Now, obviously, you don't have to bend over backwards, and they shouldn't. The establishment shouldn't bend over backwards to placate the students, because then they'll think that they can just walk out to get whatever they want. But there should be a middle ground that I don't think was being met. I don't think they were being taken seriously before. They were trying to be silenced, and it didn't work.
You mean they'd be like, you mean we can't get barbecue on Friday? Protest!
Yeah, we don't want that.
Where's my bullhorn? So, yeah, I hope everything works out with Grambling. This is kind of like the other side of the coin to the All Players United, where the APU is kind of fighting the NCAA, where the Grambling students, they're almost like fighting their own university. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So we got one more great topic to talk about. But before we get there, I want to send a shout-out to the good people at Audible.com. They're the premier provider of digital audiobooks with over 100,000 titles to choose from in every genre. Thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and many, many more. Your Audible titles can play on the iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime, anywhere. And for you guys, the listeners of the Kings of Sport podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their service. And they got a lot of great books, The Hobbit, The Witness, Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, Gone Girl, Bad Luck and Trouble, and, of course, The War for Late Night. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport for your free audiobook today. You guys are down with the Kings. Audible is down with the Kings. So get down with audible.com. And you know one of the great things about Audible, Alfred?
What's that name?
Is that, you know, it's this day and age, everything is so fast, and it's a microwave society. It's a mobile society. You just don't have time to lug around a book anymore. You know, and there's some great books, but you just don't have the time, the space, the energy to lug around a big, thick book or a novel or anything like that. But with Audible, you know, you can just put it on your iPod or your iPhone or whatever and just have it in your pocket, pop your earbuds in, and you can listen to your books anytime, anywhere.
Right.
And so then that way your hands are free for other activities. And speaking of hands like free.
Video games or?
I'm talking about one brother named Trey Meteor, or Meteor. I don't know how he pronounces it, but I'm sure no one will forget his name after this next story, Alfred.
Now, good transition, by the way. Great segue. But I will preface this by saying this Oklahoma Sooners wide receiver was very highly touted out of college, ranked 12th nationally, second in his position, according to Rivals.com. But he's about to make a name for himself because, according to TMZ Sports, Trey Metoyer was caught masturbating in public. Not on one, but two separate occasions. Now, again, this is a five-star recruit, has a probably a very big future in the NFL, but TMZ reported that on August 29th of 2013, somebody called the police in Norman, Oklahoma, to report a man wearing a blue shirt and blue pants pleasing himself inside a red Pontiac Grand Am. And on September 17th, 2013, now a woman called police saying Meteor approached her while he was walking. She was walking her dog and asked to borrow a pen. Oh, sounds innocent enough. She went inside her apartment to grab a pen. And when she returned to police, Trey was outside of her front door masturbating in front of her apartment. Acting out his own fantasy, it seems, but with himself. So this kid's got a problem. I don't know if he's a sex addict. I don't know if he's mentally unstable. There could be all kinds of issues in play, but hopefully this potentially big-time NFL career can get off of the ground if he just gets his hands out of his pants.
Yeah, let's preface this with saying, you know, hopefully, you know, there's no mental instability or things like that. If there are, hope the kid gets some treatment.
Absolutely.
Now that that's out of the way, let's make some jokes. Oh man, this is crazy because, like you said, this guy has a lot of talent. You know, they've compared him to a Dez Bryant type. We could see obviously he's got good hands. but this is just so weird. Like first of all, the first incident where he was just in his car, and then the second incident where he went to the lady's house. It's like, I mean, I'm not gonna be one of them guys that's too cool for school and be like, oh, I've never done anything like this. In terms of, you know, pleasuring yourself, not in terms of being in the Grand Am. But, you know, at least had a common decency and respect to be in your room. I mean, they have dorm rooms in Alabama, don't they? Oklahoma, excuse me.
I'm sure they've got one or two.
You know, but I'm sure Bob Stoops can, you know, if Bob Stoops will pay for a hotel for the night if you got to get your frustrations out, Trey Meteor. If you need to have a meteor shower every now and then.
Now, a lot of people have been complaining. The competition committee, it's quiet right now, but it might form a bit of a bubble that wide receivers in the NFL, their gloves are just basically like stick 'em to where they can catch anything, and they shouldn't be wearing gloves like that. This could be a solution if players can't wear gloves anymore. It's kind of like human stick 'em.
You know the funniest part about this, the unintentionally funny part? I'm looking at like the top Oklahoma Sooners football blog right now, and do you know the name of it?
What is it?
The Crimson and Cream Machine.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Go crazy, Internet!
Oh, boy. Like, yeah, this is... Oh, this makes no sense. This makes no sense.
Do you think he thought she was going to be gone for longer than she was, and she caught him, and he stopped abruptly? Or was this one of those things where, like, he was looking her dead in the eye, like, oh, yeah, yeah, you call those cops?
I don't, like, what, it's kind of like a can of Pringles, Alfred. Once you pop, you can't stop.
But in public?
I mean, it's hard to, like, it's kind of involuntary once the machine gets going.
Please don't tell me you could speak to this experience of your machine getting going at inopportune times in public.
No, not in public. I'm just saying, like, when you get in your mode, to quote DJ from Hustle and Flow, when you get in your mode and you feel in the mode, it's a little bit hard to snap back to reality.
Once you've got that rhythm going, you know, you can't just stop a climax because she's getting out of her house.
You know, yeah, it's like, and again, maybe that's what he wanted, though. Maybe he was just like, yeah, Gary, you get that pen. I got a pen for you.
It's that danger. It's that sense of danger that he gets off on.
Literally.
Yes!
See what happens when Marcus is in the round. At least we're not talking about crack this week.
Not yet.
Yeah, this is like for real. I want to hear Bob Stoops address this topic.
I don't think you think you could do it with a straight face? That's jacked up.
I heard Chris Carter saw it and he was like, come on, man. Oh, yeah. The funny part is, like you mentioned with Trey, is he asked her if she wanted the pin back.
Yeah.
that's just gangster. Like, yeah, you want this pin back, girl?
See, there's a level of human decency to this. He's courteous. Maybe she's just to lighten up, you know? If he has the wherewithal to do that and ask if she wants the pin back, maybe she just needs to lighten up. Maybe she's a little stuck up.
But now he's I guess he's been suspended from the football team indefinitely.
Oh, sure. He left the football team.
Okay, he left the football team. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what this means for his future because, like, you know, like we said, there's a lot of talent here, but maybe, you know, he's not clicking on all cylinders upstairs.
Yeah, they'll evaluate him, but I mean, this is somebody who they're not going to give up on. I don't think college football or the NFL is going to give up on him. This is one of those instances where in this type of light, where TMZ is churning out all kinds of crazy stories on the daily, if he is a viable wide receiver of the level of a Dez Bryant, like some people think he will be, this is going to be an afterthought. It'll be like, hey, isn't that that guy that one time? You know, it's going to be one of those things where the one guy in your living room knows about it, and everybody's like, how do you know about that?
Yeah.
And they're going to say because they listen to the Kings of Sport.
Yeah, all I can say is I hope they do a thorough investigation or evaluation with them at the combine, but this gives a whole new meaning to the term Wonderlic.
Oh.
That's it. I'm done with this story.
That is disgusting.
I shot my wad.
Are you sure you're done? You don't want one more?
You want this pin back? Trey Media. I know we don't do the King for a Week anymore, but Trey Meteor would, I don't know if he'd get it, but he'd be in the running.
Yeah, let's give him an honorary award. Maybe he doesn't have to be King for a Week, but it's, you know, maybe Prince or Popper or something like that.
Oh. Maybe he can do commercials for Pontiac Grand Am. I'm Trey Meteor, and I love the roomy spaciousness inside the Pontiac Grand Am.
Plenty of leg room, and you can put them on the dashboard.
You can put them on the glass. So I think we're done, Alfred. I think we're done here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we have to be. Yeah. I feel nice and relaxed now, and
there's no way to follow this story. Hurry back soon, Marcus.
You think that's what Marcus is doing right now?
Hey, he's gotta find some way to cheer up after the Dodgers lost.
Yeah.
Oh. I think Marcus probably left early from his meeting with his colleague. They were watching the Dodgers games. I think he cut out early after the Cardinals jumped out to like an 8-0 lead.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's a wrap.
Bludgeon them.
So, better luck next year, Dodgers. At least now we don't have to hear any more stories about unwritten rules in baseball, at least for another year.
Oh, we'll hear plenty of them. As long as baseball is ongoing, there will be unwritten rules story. Somebody will break some. Somebody will laugh when they weren't supposed to laugh or spit out gum on the wrong baseline, and it'll cause an uproar in baseball. We're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fact of life. So, let's end this. Let's get out of here. Big up the Trey Meteor, but not too big. So, yeah. It's that kind of show, folks. So, you said you wanted ratchetness. We give you ratchetness. Don't act all Hasa did it now.
That's as ratchet as it gets, man. I don't know if we can top that next week, but we'll try.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, Big Nasty, where can the people follow you and hear about your political aspirations and what type of bribes you will or will not take?
Before you vote for Nasty, follow Big Nasty at This Is Nasty on Twitter. Quick shout out to Rick Bucher, who just came on the team. Go to Bleach Report, watch the videos, read the articles, and we're getting stronger by the day.
And you can follow Marcus on Twitter at Marco Will, but after that crushing Dodgers defeat, he might change it to Marco Won't.
Oh,
but at least he's got a nice new car to drown his sorrows in.
Did he tell that story?
Yeah, he told the story about his
car.
Yeah, so you'll have to go back and listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it now.
But all he did was drive in his car. That's all he did. No extracurricular activities.
Oh. Or so he says. Now, Mercedes doesn't need that type of drama, and they don't need that type of extra publicity. That would just be playing with House's money, but, you know, it might be a better story if he was doing that in a Mercedes.
That's crazy. If Trey Meteor had a Mercedes, would the NCAA be more pissed that he got caught with a public indecency charge, or would they be more worried about where to get the Mercedes from?
Good point. That might be the perfect diversion, too. I mean, somebody will bring up, yeah, forget the Mercedes, but did you see what he was doing in it? Maybe that's the solution to any type of scandal, is that Johnny Manziel should have done that with all those helmets that he was selling, and once they found the helmets, hey, you know what I mean? Where did all the sploosh come from?
Oh. And on that note, You can follow me at N the number 8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow all of us on the Kings of Sport, K-O-S underscore P-O-D, Cospod on Twitter, Facebook.com/Kings of Sport. Hit us up on iTunes, Stitcher. Like us, rate us, review us. Tell us if you don't like us. We don't care. Share it. Let your peoples know. That's it. We're done for another week, or we'll be back next week. Hopefully all three of us will be, here at the same time. But if not, we'll make it do what it'll do. So, for Marcus Money Vandenberg, for Alfred Big Nasty, aka Big Ducky Cunawa. Yeah, we're not gonna let it go. We had to bring it back another week.
All right.
It could be worse. for the good people at Place to Be Nation, PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for pop culture. For the good people at Audible.com, AudibleTrial.com/Kings of Sport. I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Watch out for meteor showers. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks.
Are you tired of the same old, same old? Do you want to break away from the herd? Do you need a change from all the other vanilla sports talk shows out there? Well, you come to the right place. It's the Kings of Sport, a new flavor in the world of sports talk. It's a place where you hear fresh takes on the hottest topics.
Now, this is a glimpse into the Lakers' future, and Paul Gasol, like you said, has been peaking, and it's only been over the past couple of weeks, so I feel like, as bad as it is that Kobe's hurt, the Lakers may be at a competitive advantage when it comes to making the playoffs. Not a lot of film out there on this Laker team.
That's a little bit of wishful thinking they'll be better off without Kobe, but I do think that this is an opportunity for Dwight, and especially Powell, who has kind of come on at the last quarter of the season. You know, it's like, where was this guy all along? Maybe it took this long for him to kind of gel with D'Antoni's style, but the Powell we're seeing right now is a guy that is playing at an all-star level. You know, you see just the variety of moves he has around the basket and the deft passing that he's always had. You'll hear the coolest guests.
The whole idea of these people who were so adamant that Tiger needed to turn himself in, I just had all kinds of questions about how they felt about Tiger Woods. Like, that's just what you couldn't help but go back to, because that's ridiculous. I don't care how much golf is supposed to be based on this gentleman's game and honor and da-da-da and everybody else and everybody talking this noise. Look, man, I play golf with people. They be out here cheap all the time. I got a buddy that was on the internet on Twitter going hard, super-duper moralistic about this. He cheats at golf all the time. I have watched him cheat at golf. He cheats. He was cheating at golf playing with me, and I stink. Like, there wasn't even any competition in this. But out here on this, Tiger needs to go home. That's ridiculous. Ain't nobody going to do that.
And you'll hear discussions you won't hear anywhere else.
Like, this is the Black Panther. He's the king of Wakanda. He's one of your prominent black superheroes, and he goes out like that. What's your thoughts on that, Mark?
You said comments, right? Just like Star Trek last week. I wasn't here for that. I'm not about that life.
And we have a new champion, and he is representing the great country of Australia. Well, I guess Australia's a continent, isn't it?
Uh-oh.
It's a country and a continent.
Oh, no.
I believe so.
It's a continent.
It's a country and a continent, though. Like, it's the only country that's a continent and vice versa.
We should know these things.
We should. you know, I just want to let everybody know that the Kings of Sport loves everybody. We don't discriminate on the basis of race, religion, sexual orientation, nothing like that. But there are some things that brothers need to be a little bit more careful about than our Caucasian companions. Some things, brothers, if you're not used to doing it, maybe you should practice first. Things like riding horses. Things like riding jet skis.
taking trips in hot air balloons. Shout out to Dante Stallworth. And especially riding ATVs in the offseason when you just finished signing the richest contract ever. The Kings of Sport, a new weekly podcast available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Are you down with the Kings?